Whatever you were feeling this week, I'll tell you one thing that you did hear in Washington. You heard a lot of people praying to Jesus. A lot of people standing there saying, in Jesus' name, glory be to God. Amen. You saw that. You heard that. God heard that. The people heard that. Let your heart be healed if you're not feeling as strong as others. And those of you that feel strong, be humble. Know that God is in control. That's the time that we give it to God and rejoice together. What's the word? Together. But you heard a lot of people standing in front of millions of people saying the name of Jesus. It's time to rejoice, and it's time to claim the victory with God. Amen? Hallelujah. It's time to walk on faith. What a beautiful day. Are we not blessed, children? Are we not blessed? But all that we're going through in our lives, the ups and downs, the pain that we're going through, or the worries that we have, for just a little while, we just see that we're blessed. Let that begin the healing. Look at the day outside, January 22nd, and the sun is shining, everybody's happy, everybody's here. Look around and see the love. This is God's family, and he's building this family. For who? For us. Amen. Hallelujah. Walk out. Receive and praise God, and we pray that these songs minister to you and let you you rejoice and let you feel something other than what you're going through. And that's so important. And Sister Kim is here. And I know she wanted to hear the song you sang last week, and we want to minister to that. So let's do this one more time. It's a beautiful song. It's the way God intended it to be, one day at a time. We'll do that one more time. Because God gives you the strength to get through. God gives you the power to get through, the wisdom, and He gives you the love and the comfort to get through. When you get the good advice, you take it and you bring it to Jesus, and He feeds that, and He feeds you, and He keeps you stronger. He says, you can, daughter. You can do it, son. Stay with me. I will help you. I will lead you. I will lift you. Stay with me one day at a time. Trust in God. Trust in Him. He will be the power. You are never, say that with me, never alone. You are never alone. He is there with you. And if you just open His book with that wisdom, you have the strength to get through anything, anything. All things added, God said, nothing impossible. So give Him praise this morning. And Joanne, bring us into church. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So stand up and pray together.
The prayer from Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
the power, and the glory forever. How long? Forever. How long? With God in heaven. Amen. And who gave us that promise? Hallelujah. Jesus gave us the promise. Responsive reading, Psalm 86. Bow down, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Hallelujah. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, the abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Hallelujah. God is good. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. And whose God is that? Our God. Amen. Give him praise. Hallelujah. This book for testimony, this book from the beginning to the end, amen, from Genesis to Revelation. What book is this? This book. This is our holy book, amen. This is a story about God. But there's a center in this. There's a heart in this book. One heart. What we follow. What makes us different and what draws us in a different way than any other religion. The heart of this book, Jesus Christ. That's the heart of this book. Amen? That's what we believe. That, the name of Jesus, is where we get salvation. And right now it might not mean as much to you as it will someday. Amen? And someday you're going to say, thank you. Thank you because somebody brought me to church, told me about Jesus. But Jesus is the heart of this book. Amen? Without Jesus, there's no resurrection. Without Jesus, there's no promise of eternity. Without Jesus, there isn't the Holy Spirit. Amen? So this book, this is the difference between our belief and the world's belief. Amen? This book was written by men, inspired by who? God. Amen? God gave them words to write down. For who? For us. And each and every word in this book is built around the name of Jesus. When you read the Old Testament, and I know when I was a young man getting into the Bible, this is what your pastor said when he was a young man. I never read the Old Testament. There's nothing in there. That's all stuff that just happened, and there's nothing in there that I will learn anything from. I couldn't have been more wrong if I tried. Amen? But this, the Old Testament is lessons in life and promises and ways to be healed and ways to be healed. Let me say that again. In ways to be healed, to do right with the Lord, to learn who the Lord is, to learn what the Lord is all about. And the first five books of the Bible written by Moses were written for the Jewish nation. Understand that. That was given to the Jewish nation because they are the chosen ones. And not because they were special. Don't do it. But God, and not because they were the largest of nations, but because God said, I could use those people to draw the world to his son. Said they were chosen, and that gift of being chosen, if you want to say, that responsibility had a lot behind it. And God had to make sure that they followed this. They had to make sure that they followed God. Amen? Because he was going to lead them. He was going to lead them somewhere and have them lead us to Jesus. That's the heart of this book. That's the difference of our religion. And Sister Cindy here, she's a Catholic, and your book and our book's the same book, and Jesus the same Jesus. Amen? It's the heart of what we believe. Amen? And so when you hear anything else, other people say that one person wrote their book, or somebody else said he talked to angels, and they gave him something, and they wrote it down. I say that's all fine and good. But Revelation tells us anything added or anything taken away from this book, you don't want to know what God has said. He said it very clearly. take anything out of this book, I will take your salvation away from you. Add anything to this book, I will add the plagues of the world. We believe in Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the difference. This book is different. Written not by one man, not by two men, but written by men who were listened to God. And I want you to understand what inspired by... Sometimes people say, well, inspired by God, what does that mean? Let me tell you something. There are some of my Sunday sermons that I have preached here where after working all week long, and this is another one you're going to hear later, I have 6, 8, 10 pages of notes. I have notes by my computer, notes by my desk. And I had this sermon plan, and on Sunday morning, God wakes me up and says, you know, you did a lot of nice things. Larry, you did really nice, and I'm really happy that you worked, but I got something else I want you to preach today. And those times, and I'm telling you, I'm going to tear up. Those times, Jack, I get my pen and I sit down, and I cannot write fast enough. It's like God has got computers going through my brain, and I'm writing. And those sermons, we had one a couple of weeks ago when I said, who is great in this? Who's great in the world? And I said, you're great in the world for what you're doing for God. Amen? I cannot write fast enough. It's like, and I'd say, please, it's sometimes, I don't, my bride is downstairs, she's getting ready, she's doing things, and we always talk back and forth, and so, and those times, she never talks to me. She's doing her hair, she's doing it, going and taking a shower, whatever, and it's, and I write, it's like, this, it's just coming from God. Did I hear his voice? No. I say, God talked to me? No. He led me. I believe that he led me to write. And I write so, and I know it's God because it's so beautiful. Every time I write and it comes from God, like this book inspired by God, do you know what it does? It touches everybody. People come up and say, oh, man, that was, you were talking to me. And I'm saying, I wasn't talking to anybody. God was talking to me. And I wrote down what he said. And we're going to learn from the Old Testament and the New Testament what means when you're teaching the Word of God. When you're writing and teaching the Word of God, you're not looking at who's receiving and who's not and what they're receiving. You're just doing it. You're doing it the way God wants you to do it. And you don't even want to, you don't see the people that you touch. You don't know how many people you touch. But that's the power of God. Amen? And when I say inspired by God, that's what, when these people in this Bible wrote for us, when the prophets wrote for us, when Moses wrote for us, they wrote it like God was right inside them and said, tell my people. And then we have the New Testament where we have, ready for this, eyewitnesses. Amen? Y'all got that game last Sunday. You watched that game. You're eyewitnesses. You can tell other people about the game who never saw the game. And they'll think, well, that was a great game. They were eyewitnesses to guess who? Jesus. Amen? So this book... this book is not a religion. This book is God. This book was given to us from God. Amen? Telling us how to live from the first page to the last page. There's nothing in there from thousands of years and thousands of people and all the words they wrote. Nothing in here that contradicts itself. Amen? It all confirms itself. The power of our book and the power of our faith lies in here and in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. That's the difference. Any other religion, I say to them, if that's what you believe, if that's how you believe, fine. God bless you. But I'm telling you, in this church and any church that talks about the Bible, it's all about Jesus. Amen? It's not about anything else except Jesus, because with Jesus, we have everything. So I don't know what else you could add to everything, except if you want power. And somehow you want to say something and keep people in bondage. Well, you better come here because this is the only place you're going to find God. You're not going to find him over there, but he's going to be over here. And then you want to fall into that bondage. Amen? But with this, we're all free. Amen? All free to worship him, to love him, to learn from him, to feed off of him. And it's in this book, from the first page to the last page. That's what we believe. That's what we preach here. And that's what we're going to keep preaching here, that you get stronger when you leave because Jesus is inside you. That you have more wisdom when you leave because you're reading his word. And that's the testimony. This book, this church is about one person, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Could you give him praise? Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We simply worship you, Lord, and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for every man who wrote every word into this book for us. Every man who took a pen and paper and wrote to us, made notes and wrote to us because you inspired them. All the men of the Bible, from Joshua to Samuel to Solomon to Paul to Peter to David, all those men who were following you. Good success, prosperity, health, healing, all those promises. How to live, how to treat others, how to accept others, how to forgive others. From you. That's in this book. Our promise is in eternity with you, in the glorious place where the Bible says we can't even imagine how great it is. It doesn't tell us the promises. It doesn't tell us anything more than we need to know. Eternity in heaven, as on earth, here with the ones that we lost, our loved ones, our family, and the new friends in Christ, to rejoice, to rejoice, to rejoice. The promise of salvation with Jesus. That's what we believe, Lord, and we're going to stay with you because nothing is better. There is nothing that would promise more. Nothing that would heal my body more. There's no anger. There's no frustration. There's no anxiety. There's you and loving. Every person I see, every face on the planet that I look at, I love because you created them. I love them. Whatever they believe, Lord, I love them. I pray for them that they'll find you. But I simply love them. I do not hate them because they don't believe like me. I do not hate them because they're not in my church. I love them because each person is your creation. That's what this book teaches us to do. And then I look inward and see what I can do to humble myself more so I could be better for the people that I love, so I could be better for me. I could be stronger. That's what this book and this church is all about. Jesus Christ and the Bible. The way we love it, because this is the truth, the life and the way. This book is full of history. Real places, real people, real kings, good and bad. This book is full of the mistakes that they made so that we would learn that they too were not perfect. David was not perfect. Solomon was not perfect. Peter was not perfect. Paul was not perfect. Why would God tell us that unless to show us that we all fall short and we need one person, Jesus Christ. That's what we need. That's who we need. Others think he was just a prophet. Others think he didn't even exist. Others don't think about him at all. Others say, well, he wasn't really the Son of God. It doesn't matter what they think. I believe, because in my heart, that is where my hope lies, and my life, and my future, and my family's future, and this church's future. I will put all I have on Jesus before I put it on anybody else. My hopes and my dreams, because God has never lied to me. He has never taken from me. He is just continually to add to me. And as I humble myself, he adds more. In this church, I pray that you receive this word, this testimony, because Jesus, the name of Jesus, the sweetest name on earth, with power and compassion to love one another. That's the prayer, and that's his testimony. The most compassionate man that ever walked the earth, our Lord and Savior. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Makes it whose home? Your home. My home? Yes. But who else's home? Your home. Are you with me? Thank you, Lord. I'm going to go to the book of Joshua. Can I get anybody who want to read Joshua 1:8? Listen to what it says. in the book of Joshua, in the Old Testament. Listen to what it says. This book of the law, this what? Shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. And here, listen to this, Old Testament. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. What will you have? Who does not want good success? And he's saying, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Where do you go? Wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Now listen to what I'm going. I'm going from Joshua to the book of Psalms. I'm going to read Psalm number 1. Listen to what it says in Psalm number 1, written by David. David. Hundreds of years after Joshua. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And David said, he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. How many want to prosper? Now I'm going Old Testament. You say, well, this is in the Old Testament? Absolutely. I learned so much from reading that Old Testament. History. All the things about life. All the Persian Empire, the Roman Empire, the Greek Empire. They're all in here. The history of the world is in here. Real things. Say that with me. Real things. Not made up. Amen? Now, here's the thing. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I've heard people say so many times, meditate. Oh, I meditate. And I ask, what do you meditate? Oh, I just kind of go alone and I sit and I said, well, that's good, but what do you, you got to meditate. So you're meditating on something, amen? Say, well, Pastor, can you help me with that? Absolutely. Guess where I can help you with that? Hallelujah. Now we're going to go to the New Testament. And we're going to read from Brother Paul. Sergio, I want you to take this. If you want to take notes or you want to read it later. Anybody, how many want to have good success? How many want to be healed? How many want to lose the stress? How many want to know what to meditate on? Because people talk about meditation, the Old Testament. Oh, meditate on the Word of God. Listen, this is what you meditate on. Finally, brethren, Paul says, finally, whatever things are true. Say that. True. Whatever things are noble, that means like you're serving others, you're thinking about serving others, noble. Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things, listen to this one, are of a good report. You're going to meditate, Sergio. You're going to go and you're going to pray. You're going to meditate. Those are what you think about. If you start to think about trouble and say, no, you're not, that's anything good. Amen. You meditate on good, anything noble, anything just, anything of a good report. You had something good happen to you yesterday, something wonderful, whatever it is, you got a good phone call, somebody you haven't seen, anything in your heart, anything of a good report. You go somewhere, you go alone and you start meditating and say, thank you. Oh, that was wonderful. What a feeling I had. It made me feel good. I feel closer to God. I feel this joy inside that I can't explain. And when you start to say, I can't explain it, understand that's God inside of you. That it's so different than your brain starts to tell you, because now you're meditating on what? The Word of God. So you meditate on a good report. All of a sudden you start to feel better. All of a sudden your body starts to heal. All of a sudden the worries are gone. So the anxiety is gone. All of a sudden the depression is gone, because you can't be depressed and think about God at the same time, because there's hope with God. I said before, if you're depressed, maybe you have too much time. That's all it is. Maybe you can volunteer somewhere. The nursing homes need volunteers. Maybe you could go to a friend's house who's not feeling well and sit and watch TV with them. Because the more you do like that, the less you have time to be depressed. Amen. To be worried. If you're afraid, call a brother, call a sister, go out to have lunch with them. And that's speaking, it's just amazing. And he says, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, and listen to what he says, four words, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. I don't know about you, but I love God being with me. Amen? Now, hallelujah. Meditate on the gifts. So if you're meditating on your fear, you're meditating on doubt, you're meditating on your feelings, even the pain, are you meditating on any of that? The Bible says, no. You're not going to help yourself. It's not going to heal you. He's saying, meditate on His Word. Just at His Word. If you got something you're worried about, then give it to God and meditate on a good report. We all have good reports. We all have something just, something noble. Amen? That is the healing inside. That is what Joshua is saying. Meditate on the Word of God. If there's a scripture you like, say, oh, it's so beautiful what Jesus said. Oh, that scripture touched me. I want to meditate on that scripture. I want to meditate on the fact that God loves me. Even though I failed Him time and time and time again, the God of the Bible forgives me. I want to meditate on that. He's forgiven me. He's forgiven me, and I want to meditate on the fact that I could go from where I'm meditating, wherever you are, by a river, wherever you are, in the backyard, in your living room, in your bedroom. You say, I can leave this place. I can go and know that I've been forgiven. I can go and know that God loves me. I can go and know that God is with me, that nothing is impossible. So when I leave here, I can just feel free because God has removed the anxiety. Amen? I'm meditating on the Word of God. The Scripture is medicine. I'll tell you what, in the morning, the commercials in the morning are unbelievable. Every commercial is about, if you hurt your back, call this lawyer. If you got in a car accident, call this lawyer. If you got sick at a job, call this lawyer. If you ate something bad at this restaurant, call this lawyer. And then it's, yes, call the lawyer. My mother just got in a car wreck and she's on the way to the hospital. Who calls a lawyer first? But that's what, okay, well, you just go to the hospital and we'll take care of everything. I'm saying, are you kidding? Why aren't there commercials apart? If you're depressed, talk to Jesus. If you're lonely, talk to God. If you got anxiety, talk to... We should have commercials like... They're not ashamed of their commercials. Amen? Why are we ashamed to tell people and express our love for God? How many see the commercials about, well, I got a bad knee. Well, take this medicine. Of course, it might make your heart stop. Might make your hair fall out. You might be paralyzed for life. But it'll help your knee. They're not ashamed of those commercials. But don't talk about God. Are you kidding me? God, that's the way. Amen. Oh my goodness. I mean, you watch them and you think, this is crazy. And I'm not making it up. How many things happen if you take this medicine? This is going to help you. But who knows? You might die tomorrow. They're not ashamed. The lawyers are not ashamed to say, hey, call me. Something bad happened, call me. I want to make sure you get your money. When do you want it? Right now. Call J.G. Wedler to get your cash right now. So I'm telling you, you want healing? Call Jesus. He's got it for you. And there's no after effect. Yes, there is an after effect. Your joy will be unbelievable. Your faith will be unbelievable. You'll be so excited about what's going on in your life that you'll call Roger and Brenda and say, hey, come on, I got to talk to you. It's so exciting. God, look what God is doing. You look around, right, to say, this is maybe the one beautiful Sunday we've had. Everybody with the weather. Look at our church. Look at where we're going. Look at, Dave, I think that still the left side is bigger than the right, but look what we have today. Amen? This is the miracle. And I don't know if Dave was here, but I was talking about the plaques, Dave. I want to get a board with plaques on and put people's name engraved in gold on a plaque. I don't want the church to make money. It doesn't matter how much they give, whatever it is, but we'll put their name so when they walk in, they see their name in their church. So 30 years from now, other people will see it. And David, I want to tell you, I want to do that breakfast. Let's do the breakfast. Let's do the breakfast. And he had a great idea. When we do the men's breakfast, guess what, ladies? You're going to have a breakfast somewhere in that same field. Because we know there's some guys who never go anywhere without their wives. I don't know who they are. Don't admit it if you don't have to. So we had the idea. So you know what? And I got three people that I want. And you know, it's not, we're not going to go to breakfast. We need to come to church. No, we're going to say, look at our family. We're talking about all kinds of things. And this is what happens when you have a family in Christ. You have help. If something happens, you come here and you have help because this is your family. We're not going to abandon you. So these people are coming and said, this is what church... I thought church was sitting down, being quiet, and waiting for the bell to ring to leave and then putting money in a tray that they pass. You see, people have this idea of what church is, amen? And people get their religion from somebody that doesn't know the Word of God or somebody else read it to them. And that's the truth. I see it every day. People quote a scripture and I say, do you even know what that means? And you start to read something and they'll say, what's that? Oh, your church doesn't. I'd say, people, I'm going to tell you something. There are millions, say that with me, millions of gay people in Christian churches because they're brothers and sisters, because they love the Lord. Amen. They don't look at anything else except Jesus. Whatever their lifestyle, they say, Lord, help me. Amen. Millions of people that you think might not be worthy are in churches today because they do one thing. They love the Lord. And this church, that's what we're doing. Amen. We don't ask anybody. We just say, if you love God, come here and we'll feed you God's word. Amen. And those people that go to those churches, they don't ask the priest. They don't ask the pastor to do things that are not written in this book because they love the Lord. And they understand that we all fall short. And they would never ask. A true Christian would never ask somebody on the pulpit to do something they know is not in this word of God. Amen. But I'm telling you, we are inclusive. And the world doesn't understand that because we don't tell them enough. We tell them about how to get money if you get hurt in an accident. We tell how to get a medicine that doesn't... And we tell them all these other great things, but we don't tell them the salvation message and the joy of the church. People see a church and they don't understand because their mothers and fathers haven't been to church in 30 years. They don't know about God because nobody sat at the table and told them. Because they gave the kid the iPad. Oh, good, you go off. I don't have to take care of you now. The iPad will take care of you. Amen? They don't talk anymore. They don't share anymore. So how can one person tell somebody about God when they don't know themselves? Amen? But that's what we're building here. That's what this church is all about. Hallelujah. It says right here at the end, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, for especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Paul is telling us that. So, meditate on these things. No longer meditate on anything that's going wrong in your life, because that'll control your spirit. Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. If you want to read that, it's in Philippians 4. Beautiful, beautiful writing, Paul writing to you. Give him praise, church. Hallelujah. That's our God. You want to show the... Can we do one thing before we do the anthem? Come on. We were blessed. We work at this nursing home every month. And the ladies at this nursing home love my bride. They love her. And she said one time about an Afghan that they had made that had some musical notes on it. And we kind of let it fly. And once in a while we say, oh, if you ever make another one. And then this past month we played there. And this is what they gave us. And it has a plaque on it. Amen. Where is it? Is it on your side, little one?
No, yours. Right there.
Oh, right here. Handmade by Middlebury Convalescent Home residents. Amen. See? That is love. That is love. And that's why I want to put people's names on the wall so that you see your name on the wall saying, this is my church. It'll change your life. I believe it. Give them praise and we'll do the anthem, lady. I don't have a microphone for you.
is good? Marilyn, do you have any copies of the last two pastors' desks? Okay. We got what we're trying to do, and now Gary and Kim, we're doing in the bulletin is putting last week's sermon in the bulletin, sort of an outline of it, so that when when something happens, you can't make it, you don't miss, so that you can actually have it. It's going to be on one page. You can put it in a little booklet, so it doesn't even have to be dated, but you can go back, and it's almost like reading something that we talked about that feeds everybody. And we thought that Marilyn and I thought that would be a great idea to do that, and we skipped this past week, but we're gonna do so. Anybody that you miss a week, you ever miss a week, and you want to have a night, we'll have copies of it, and they're like the outlines, and they'll be really nice, and you'll get to hear what we talked about, and you'll get to feel the hope in what we're sharing. So I think that's exciting. I know. I want them to have it in their hands to read. He took the bread, blessed and broke it. Jesus, in front of his disciples, he knew what he was about to face. And he said, "This is my body being torn for you." And he gave it to them and he said, "Eat and do this in remembrance of me." The heart of our belief, the heart of our word, the word of God is about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, what he did on that cross for us. We don't stop at the cross because there's so much after the cross. But Jesus asks us to do this now in remembrance of him until he comes back again. In Jesus' name. According to the book of Matthew, for the remission of our sins, he poured the wine into a cup and said, "This is my blood being shed for you. I am going to shed my blood, my life-giving blood, and it shall cover you, protect you." under the blood for those who believe. And he simply asks that we do this in remembrance of him. Remember the 10 lepers that he healed, and only one came back to thank him. And he was a foreigner. Let us just simply thank him this morning. Someday you will thank him forever. And you will thank those who brought you to this church or to whoever brought you to Jesus. You will thank them for eternity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He told the leper, "Be healed and go your way." And all he did was come back and thank him. So today we just thank him and remember what Jesus did on that cross for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name. Meditate on whatever is good, brothers and sisters.